This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, these are the days of Hajj. The months of Hajj commence immediately after the month of Ramadan. Shawwal, Dhul-Qi'dah, Dhul-Hijjah. These are the months known as the months of Hajj. We have had the contingent of Hujjaj from Zimbabwe who left just a few days ago. We ask Allah Almighty to make it easy for them and to accept it from them. You need to know that Allah has made Hajj compulsory upon you and I only if you are able and capable to undertake the journey. So if you look at Islam, we always say there are five pillars of Islam. One of the greatest ways of connecting with Allah is to uphold the five pillars of Islam. And one of the pillars, the last pillar, is known as Hajj. Why is it the last pillar? It is for two reasons. One is that it's only once a lifetime. You don't have to do it more than once. You only have to do it once in your life. Once you've done it once in your life, it should have allowed you to arrive at a level of connection with Allah that will change your life forever. Secondly, it is only if you can afford the journey in every way and you are physically able and you have the permission from the rulers or the authority on land to go there. So that means istita'a. Allah says,
وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا.
Allah has prescribed upon us, or for Allah upon us, is the pilgrimage of the house for those who are able to undertake the journey. That's the meaning of it. So you owe it to Allah and I owe it to Allah. When do I go? As soon as I can afford it, and Allah's given me the wealth and the capacity, the ability, and nowadays we call it the visa. So you apply for it, sometimes you don't get it. You are not sinful for as long as you tried. Similarly, if you cannot afford it, it's not compulsory on you. What is the meaning of affording? You afford the airfare, you afford the accommodation and the food while you are there, some of the expenses while you are there for the 5 days and a little bit before, a little bit after, the transport, and while you are out, all the obligations you have need to be fulfilled. If you have a debt of $5 million, for example, and you are paying every month, for as long as the monthly installments for the time you are not going to be there are taken care of, Hajj is still farad on you, even though you're in debt, because that is known as a prolonged debt. But if you owe someone money now and it's not prolonged, they are chasing you for it, then you obviously cannot afford it because you need to pay the debt first. So those are the two types of debts. One is a long-term debt. When there is a long-term debt, you only need to look at the time you're going to be out. And while you're, like rental, for example, for your property, while you are out, you make arrangements for that. Your electricity, your water, your school fees for children, whatever else it may be. For as long as while you're out, it's going to be taken care of, you have to go for Hajj. Similarly, you don't delay. Say, never mind, I can afford it, but I'm still too young. No. Allah Almighty has decided and dictated. He is the one who decides when you're going to go for Hajj. That's it. You can afford it, you're able, you're capable, and so on. You need to go. When? The next possible Hajj. In Indonesia, and I was there 2 weeks back, it takes years before your name actually comes up on the list. You apply, sometimes 20 years later, your name comes up. In some countries, 15 years, 5 years. Nowadays, in South Africa as well, it takes a few years at times before your name comes. We are fortunate in Zimbabwe, the numbers are still pretty small. If you decide to go during the months of Hajj, you can still go for Hajj. May Allah Almighty make it easy for us. So we are fortunate in that regard. Now, sometimes people come up to you and say, listen, I need you to help me with some charity because I want to go for Hajj. That is wrong. In Islam, it is not permissible to give someone zakat in order to go for Hajj. It's like giving someone zakat to pay zakat. The guy says, listen, I don't have to pay zakat, but I want to pay zakat, so give me some zakat so that I can pay the zakat. It doesn't make sense. The same applies. If you want to go for Hajj, Hajj you go with your own money, or someone can send you, no problem. Someone can sponsor the trip, no problem, for as long as it's not from zakat. Zakat is for the basic needs of the people, needy people who have the food problems, the water problems, drinking, clothing, accommodation, medicine, etc., sometimes even education and so on. So to give someone zakat to go for Hajj is a mistake. May Allah Almighty protect us all. But when we make the journey, remember, you need to build yourself. You need to, like they say, psych yourself. I'm going for Hajj. This is a lifetime's journey, one opportunity. As I leave, I am making sure that I have made peace with Allah, and I'm going to make peace with the rest of the people, as many as I can. You seek forgiveness from people, I'm going for Hajj. They are not obliged to forgive you. You might go to someone, please forgive me, I'm going for Hajj. They say, I'm not going to forgive you. It's okay. That's his right. It was your problem. Why did you wrong him in the first place, right? It doesn't mean I'm going for Hajj, everything will be wiped out. No. If you have wronged a fellow human, it's not wiped out. So this is something interesting that you need to know. When you have done wrong to someone, backbiting, slander, etc., it's a very dangerous crime, because Allah forgives everything except the right of a fellow human being, which He leaves for that human being. When you go to them, listen, I'm going for Hajj, forgive me. They may say, okay, no problem. You are forgiven. Everything is clear. But they may say, I haven't forgiven you. You've got to bear that in mind. May Allah make it easy. So, as you go for Hajj, make sure you've made everything in order. You have psyched yourself. Like I said, I'm going for this journey, and I'm not going there with any intention besides to fulfill what Allah has promised. Why is it a pillar of Islam? A pillar. Because Allah loved the way Ibrahim alayhi salam adopted his instruction without asking a question. Allah invites you to pray 5 times a day. Hayya 'ala salah. Come to prayer. Who is saying that? It's Allah. It's the instruction of Allah. Allah is saying, come to prayer. When Allah instructs you, if it was Ibrahim alayhi salam, before the instruction is even over, he's already beginning to fulfill it. What about us? Would you like to be a friend of Allah? Well, answer the instruction of Allah when He instructs you. Adopt it when He has asked you, and so on. So Allah Almighty has written this for us. He says, you will go because I love Ibrahim alayhi salam so much. Go to the house he built. You will do things you might not understand, but I know this is an act of worship. I want to do it for me and me alone. We go, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I'm at your service, O Allah. I'm at your service. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. I'm at your service, O Allah. There is none in association of partnership with you, O Allah. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. Indeed, all praise belongs to you, all kingdom and all boons and gifts belong to you. An entire kingdom belongs to you. You own everything. La sharika lak. You have no partners, O Allah. You are alone. I'm here for who? For you. Do you understand the instruction? You ask someone, why do you go round the Kaaba 7 times? They will tell you, we don't know. It's just the instruction of Allah. That's the correct answer. It's the instruction of Allah. I'm doing it for Allah. I don't worship the box. I respect the box in the sense that I respect the fact that it is the house of Allah, but I don't render worship for it. I'm going around exactly as Allah tells us. And if you take a look at the orbits, and if you take a look at all the various planets and the galaxies, as they were to say, all of them move in a similar anti-clockwise manner. Subhanallah. What is the connection? I don't know. I don't even know if there is one. But all I know, it's just intriguing to note that. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. Now I arrive in Saudi Arabia, for example. And as I come, I need to take with me a bag of patience, because Allah tests you. It's not going to be easy. There are millions of others. You need to dress the way everyone else dressed. You need to wear these 2 pieces of cloth with simple footwear and nothing on your head. We're talking of the males here. The man next to you could be a king, and the guy on the other side could have been someone who can't even afford anything. What do you do? No distinguishing. It should remind you of the day you're going to go in your grave and the day that you will be resurrected. You're all equal. You're all the same. Subhanallah. And what is everyone saying? All of them dressed in the same way, supposed to be at a similar place, similar time, saying the same things. Oh Allah, we declare worship of yours and you alone. Subhanallah, the Hajj. May Allah make it easy for us to go there. So, as you enter, there are 3 types of Hajj you need to know. The first is called Ifrad. Ifrad means you just go into Saudi Arabia, into Mecca, in order to make the Hajj alone with no Umrah. Umrah is the minor pilgrimage and Hajj is the major pilgrimage. So if you're only making the major pilgrimage, it's quite simple. You go in, you do what is known as Tawaful Qudum, which is a tawaf, and you would actually go to Mina on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, to Arafah on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, to Muzdalifah the 9th of the night, and to Mina again the 10th, 11th and 12th. That's as simple as Hajj is. What we're going to do there, I will mention in a few moments. But if you want to do another type of Hajj, I want to go there, I want to make the minor pilgrimage and the major pilgrimage as well. I want to do Umrah and I want to do Hajj. In that case, there are two options you have. One is you can combine the two. It's known as Qiran, to join the two. What have I joined? The Umrah and then the Hajj. So I go in, I do my tawaf, I do my sa'i, etc. And then I continue on the day of Hajj, the 8th, I go to Mina and so, and I continue further and complete, as I said earlier, the 9th is for Arafah and the 9th in the evening is for Muzdalifah. The 10th is for Mina again and so on. What have I done? Two things. The Umrah and the Hajj together. And I can choose to do what majority of the scholars say is the best one. It is the Umrah, and then I come out of Ihram. I come out of the condition of sacredness where I'm not allowed to cut my hair. I cannot cover my head, for example, for the males. I cannot wear clothing beyond what I have, the two pieces of cloth. I cannot apply perfume and so on. I come out of that condition. And I wait for the days of Hajj. So, for example, the people from this part of the world who already went there now, there is still a while before Hajj. What will they do? They will do the minor pilgrimage now as soon as they arrive in Mecca. And they will come out of Ihram and they will wait for the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. On the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, they will wear their Ihram from Mecca. And they will now engage in the Hajj alone. So they did the Umrah, they came out of Ihram, and now they will do the Hajj in one journey. The fact that you've had the opportunity to do both in one journey, you owe Allah Almighty what is known as hadi. You need to sacrifice an animal. Subhanallah. Allah gave you the chance to do two in one journey and you came out of your ihram. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So these in a nutshell are the types of Hajj. Remember, there are three. You either do Hajj alone with no Umrah. You either do Hajj and Umrah in one journey together, known as Qiran. Or you either do Hajj and come out, Umrah and come out of Ihram and then do the Hajj, which is known as Tamattu'. Tamattu' means you have enjoyed the time between the Umrah and the Hajj in your plain clothes without the condition of Ihram in Mecca. Then what would happen when it comes to the 8th of Dhul Hijjah? All the Hujjaj will don the two pieces of cloth once again, besides those who are doing Qiran and Ifrad, because they would already be in Ihram. In fact, if you're doing Ifrad, you can actually go straight to Mina. You would not be sinful to go straight to Mina. But if you have done Tamattu on the 8th, you put on your Ihram in Mecca and you go to Mina. Why do I go to Mina? Well, Allah Almighty instructs you. That's the true answer. Allah has asked you to go there. He knows what He wants from you. You reflect over your life. You engage in the praise of Allah. You worship Allah. You do the remembrance of Allah in terms of Tilawatul Quran, recitation of the Quran and the dhikr and so on. But more importantly, your condition, think about who you are, what you've been doing all along. What is it that you want to change in your life? You're a Muslim, you're supposed to re-plug with Allah, reconnect with Allah. What is it that you have in mind in order to change your entire life? You spend that day and that night in Mina. Following morning, you end up going to Arafah, which is the most important day of Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-Hajju Arafah. The Hajj itself is actually the Arafah. If you have not been to Arafah, there is no Hajj for you. No matter how ill or sick you are, you need to go to Arafah. If you haven't been there, no Hajj. Your Hajj is not done. So the following day, get up in the morning, fulfill your Salatul Fajr, and then you proceed to Arafah. When you get to Arafah, you spend the day again in the remembrance of Allah, in ibadah, crying to Allah, making your dua, your supplications, realizing how insignificant you are. Oh man, today on earth I can smell you that you're a rich man, because I can smell either the oud or one of the names, boss or whatever else it may be. I can smell it. I know, hey, this guy's got some money because I can smell the oud. I remember when I lived in Saudi Arabia some time back, the beggars used to follow certain people. You wonder why? But there was a cent. If this man can afford this cent, he must be having at least one riyal to give us. So when it comes to Hajj, notice you're not allowed to put perfume because it will distinguish you. You can't. Because if it were, people would have said, hey, smell this, I can stand ahead of you, you know. It can't be. You have to be the same. If you want to use an antiperspirant because you think your sweat might give off an odor, you may use something that is not scented, and it's healthy to do so. But when you get to Arafah, it gives you an opportunity to think how you are equal to everyone else the same. You're going to be facing Allah. All these people are crying about their own needs. No matter who you are or where you're from or what your condition is, you have needs that only Allah will be able to fulfill. So Allah wants you to do that. And subhanAllah, once the day of Arafah reaches the afternoon, it becomes the climax of the Hajj. Qiyam, wukuf. It's actually called wukuf bi Arafah. You are now crying to Allah. You are now really begging for forgiveness, asking Allah to change your life. And once the sun sets, before you read Maghrib and Isha, you leave Arafah all together in droves. And where do you go? To Muzdalifah. In Arafah, there are just a few tents, makeshift. In Muzdalifah, there is almost nothing. You're lucky if you have a small little place. Otherwise, you sleep, the canopy is the sky. You got to rest in Muzdalifah, you sleep in the evening. And you get up early. You collect some pebbles. You fulfill your Salat al-Subh. And you proceed to where? You proceed to Mina in order to pelt Shaitan. What is the significance of this pelting? The significance is that at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah instructed him to do something, which was to sacrifice his son, Shaitan came to him on three occasions and he pelted Shaitan. So Allah wants you to pelt, because when Allah instructs you in your life to do something, the same Shaitan comes to you to tell you don't do it. So you need to pelt him in order to ensure that from within, I'm fighting the devil. That's what it is. So more importantly than picking a big stone and a rock, which is actually wrong, you've got to pick a small pebble. It is what comes out from within you that is of importance. My jealousy, my hatred, my ill feeling, my laziness to adopt Salatul Fajr and whatever other instruction it may be. All of that comes out. First pebble, second pebble, third pebble, fourth pebble, seven pebbles. And then you sacrifice an animal for the sake of Allah and shave your head. And what happens? You come out of the ihram. You go to Mecca, you do what is known as Tawafu Ziyara, which is absolutely important for the Hajj. Like I said, if you ask me why, I have no answer. It's the instruction of Allah. You're a Muslim, submit to Allah. Allah told you to do it, do it. You will reap the wider benefits from it at some point, and inshallah, almost immediately. Thereafter, you go back to Mina for the next 2 nights, and you pelt all three shayateen. You come back, you can do your tawaful wida, and you're ready to go home. That is Hajj in a nutshell. That is Hajj in a nutshell, mashallah. All of this, there are millions of people, the planning of it, the execution of it, the encouragement of it, the facilitation of it. Everyone gets a full reward of the Hajj, of the people who are there. The only difference is in that case, the Hajj is fulfilled. And in this case, it's only a reward of the Hajj. You still need to fulfill yours. That's the difference. So may Allah make it easy for us. My brothers and sisters, I want to say one last point. The idea of the Hajj is for us to change our lives and reconnect with Allah. Whenever you go for something major like Hajj, ask yourself, how has my life changed? Did I stop the lies, the falsehood, the swearing, the bad mouthing, the cheating, the deceiving, whatever else it may be? If I have, good news, it's an accepted Hajj. If I haven't, why did you waste your time? Okay, the farad might be fulfilled, but you did not achieve a broader benefit from it. So seek the forgiveness of Allah, and Allah will open your doors. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That verse declaring the compulsion of Hajj is not a small verse. And Allah Almighty wants us to leave our bad habits in that same place where we pelted the devil. Imagine you're going to be throwing at least 42 to 49 stones and pebbles. And if you're going to remove 49 bad habits of yours, I'm sure that's enough, right? You can't even write 49 bad habits. If I told you today, write down 49 of your bad habits, you might write 7, 10, and you'll get tired. But you need to work on it. You need to become a better person. And that's the idea. Do you know in West Africa and in other countries of the world, when a person comes from Hajj, their title changes forever. What are they known as? Al-Hajj. Al-Hajj. Why? To continuously remind you, hey, you made Hajj. You're not supposed to do this. You made Hajj. You're not supposed to do that. You made Hajj. You made Hajj. You're on another level. Al-Hajj. Al-Hajj. They call each other Al-Hajj. Why? Because you did Hajj. It was in our cultures as well, up to not so long ago. Haji so, Haji so. We have now removed it. We call each other by the first name. In fact, we chop it. Mo, how's it, man? That's how we talk to each other. Sorry, his name is Muhammad, by the way. But to be honest with you, that's how we talk to each other. You know what? To remember that you made Hajj is something very important. May Allah Almighty bless all of us, grant us ease and goodness. And like I say, may He take us for Hajj. May He make it easy for us to go. At the moment, we have it easy going in our country. You want to go for Hajj? You can go for the next one. In other countries, they don't have it that easy. And who knows how long it's going to last. Wallahi, I tell you, it's so difficult. People are crying 5, 10, 15 years later. My name has not yet come up. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make it easy for us all. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.